Welcome, one. Welcome, all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text. 844-967-2789. Joined by Mr. Luke Mathers and Mr. Aaron Zommers today. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution. Gentlemen, how are we doing this Tuesday afternoon?
Good. It's the first Tuesday of the fantasy football season, so you got to keep an eye on those waiver wires. And I meant to ask you about it because our team, I believe, won over the weekend. So that's something.
Well, of course we did, Luke.
Of course
we
did. I played no part.
Yes, we did in fact win.
We had the Dallas defense. Come on, if it's team effort, and you're going to put my name on it. Then you got to say we rather than just I had the Dallas defense.
Fair, but your name is not on it because you have not yet accepted the invitation to co-manage, so it is, as of right now,
still haven't sent it to me. Still haven't sent it to me. All right, but other than that, it's a great Tuesday. Just feeling a little bit like fall, you know, brisk morning, but a nice afternoon, having a great time. I'm thrilled to be with you here on the Civic Media Airwaves.
Oh, yeah, beautiful outside today. That's how I feel. I like the cooler weather, so today, it finally, to me, feels pleasant to be outside instead of just miserable.
Just miserable. That's one way to define the 90s, 80s, and 90s temperatures that we've been experiencing over the better part of the last month. But yeah, it's a nice pleasant. Fall is my favorite season, but I'm just dead set on not getting to it before it's actually here. Like people talk,
time will come.
Exactly. Will come. People that start talking about pumpkin spice and fall, like as soon as the 4th of July is over, there's a separate ring in hell for individuals like that, in my opinion.
It's all the same corporate people who do Black Friday sales, and how Black Friday sales are actually all of November now.
Yeah, that's weird. There's certain stores out there that already have Christmas decorations. I'm like, stop it. Like the over-marginalization of
capitalism run amok.
It's not fun. We're in the final couple days of summer. I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to be thrilled to celebrate fall once it's here.
Well, and now that fall is here, as you mentioned, it's football season. Did you manage to watch the game last night, Luke?
I did. That was a very unfortunate situation.
I'm genuinely heartbroken. Not just for Aaron, because he seems so excited to be there, but for Packers fans, who are no longer going to get that first-round pick, for Jets fans, who had the most excitement that they've had in decades. God, I feel so bad for that fan base. For fans of NFL football. Like this was absolute worst case scenario for everybody involved. It's terrible, and it's really sad, I think, to see a lot of people like cheering on the injury.
Yeah,
not
that's
just because
disgusting.
A, it's a human being. That's disgusting. You should never be cheering somebody getting hurt. But B, what Aaron Rodgers did for the franchise, for the Green Bay Packers, for the state of Wisconsin over the past 15 years, you know, should wish him nothing but good fortune. Obviously, if the Jets and the Packers were to play, we're rooting for the Packers here still. But this is just a miserably sad situation for anybody who finds themselves a fan of football, because that had the opportunity to be a really fun season.
Did you see the story for the bar in Milwaukee that was doing the promotion?
Yes.
If the Jets lose, you win. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fans live. I believe I was watching AJ Bedapur, reporter for CBS 58, was there in the bar when the Jets won in overtime, and the disappointment from the fans was pretty high, because Rodgers did start the game. He was in the game for four snaps, and then the unfortunate injury took him out of the game. At that point, I think a lot of people probably started drinking, thinking that they were going to get their bar tabs picked up, because
Zach Wilson's coming in. Yeah,
exactly. If Rodgers was going to be out of the game, there was a likelihood that the Bills would win. Not the case, though. Game went to overtime, and on the first punt return, Jets special teams taking care of business and scoring that touchdown to win the game and cover the bar that would have had a lot of tabs that they would have had to pick up had that not been the outcome.
You know what? That's what happens when you celebrate early. When you celebrate fall before it's fall, when you celebrate when you losing
think,
the game
say,
before.
When you think one injury is the in the first what 6 minutes of the game determines the outcome. Yeah, not the case. There you go, Aaron. Very, very insightful. There's some wisdom from Mr. Zommers there on the ones and twos. But Will, what are we talking about?
The NFL has scripted people on Twitter. We're having a field day after that ending. But today, Luke, I want to address community, the relationship that communities have with law enforcement, and I want to ask you, the people of Wisconsin, how do you want and or expect your community to address public safety? Is it time to reimagine our relationship with law enforcement? I'm going to launch this by reading over from a piece at WISN. Big Bend votes to eliminate police department. The measure would cut three full-time and nine part-time police officers. Another Waukesha County community has voted to eliminate its police department. The vote last Thursday night would make Big Bend the eighth Waukesha County community to have its police services covered by the sheriff's office. The measure would cut all three full-time and nine part-time police officers. The deal with the sheriff's office would provide two full-time deputies based in Big Bend, but shared with the village of Vernon, which already has a deal with the WCSO. Several board members who spoke with WISN 12 News said the approximately $500,000 deal would save the village about $200,000 a year. Is this the future of policing? Is this the future of public safety? I want to hear your thoughts, people of Wisconsin. Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
And it's interesting, Will, because if the politics of the community of Big Bend were different, Waukesha County is where Big Bend resides. If this was in a liberal county or a liberal city, I believe you would see a firestorm of activity around a vote like this.
Agreed.
It is interesting to see that that is not the case, that you do not see the same pundits that have been screaming about liberal efforts to defund the police pick up this story. And I can understand the village of Big Bend, I'm sure, is facing a lot of budgetary constraints. For far too long, we've seen a shared revenue formula here in the state of Wisconsin that went unaddressed. There were villages, tiny villages and towns, all the way up to large cities like Green Bay, Madison, and Milwaukee that were not adequately getting funded by the state government. We had a broken shared revenue formula here in Wisconsin for far too long that left a lot of municipalities, like villages, like Big Bend, that had to make these tough budgetary decisions. We've seen communities go to referendum to fund their schools. We see services like public safety and law enforcement get cut. And if this were to happen in a community with different politics, there would be so much outrage around it. And so I hope that the Waukesha County Sheriff's Department can adequately still respond to the calls that it will need to in Big Bend. But I think it needs to be pointed out the reason why a lot of municipalities like this are having to take votes like this is because there's been a lack of focus or at least prioritization from the state to actually address how our communities are being funded and providing services like this. We instead, for the better part of the last 3 years, have been going on wild goose chases, spending millions of dollars trying to find voter fraud that does not exist, trying to take away powers from an incoming governor because you don't like the politics of that governor, fighting lawsuits over redistricting that federal court cases have shown is rigged, but because one of the candidates that ran for a seat on the state's highest court shared her views on the issue, and Wisconsin voters
that they are in fact rigged
voted for her, they're going to now float ideas of impeachment. That's where the priorities are being and the time is being spent by some state lawmakers, rather than addressing the issues that we have, like public safety. And so
you also didn't note the massive tax cuts, Luke. Remember that we had a record budget surplus. We had the money to do something.
We still have $4 billion. We still have $4 billion. There's still a huge budget surplus. There are things that the state government could do right now to help address public safety in areas like Big Bend and around the state. But instead, that doesn't seem to be the case. I do applaud the bipartisan nature that went into addressing the shared revenue formula, and there is assistance on the way, but that does not necessarily make up for a decade and a half of being asleep at the wheel on this issue, Will.
Yeah, and Luke, I got to reiterate as well that this is not a one-off, even in Waukesha County, right? Big Bend is the eighth Waukesha County community to have its police services covered by the sheriff's office and disbanding its own police department. I also want to note that I believe it was 82 years that Big Bend has had its own department. So this is, yep, it's a monumental decision. Big Bend has had its own police department for 82 years. What's interesting in this situation, and what a number of, for example, Trustee Josh Grover, who was one of the two board members to vote against it, noted, they were very upset because there was no public notice that this issue was up for a discussion or a vote. He was asked by a reporter when the first time he heard about possibly disbanding the police department was, and he answered yesterday during the meeting. So is this, behind closed doors, decisions being made without public input? Is this something that your community may or may not support if it were to be the next one where this issue comes up? I'd like to hear your thoughts, people of Wisconsin. Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts on public safety and how it is best for communities to address it?
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting comparison as we're seeing different areas of the state who are looking to address these problems with similar situations as Big Bend. Budgetary constraints, being able to allocate the staffing and resources that goes into addressing public safety. And there's a piece over at the Cap Times discussing how Madison, here in my area of the state, is addressing this and how an outside organization is looking to maybe expand a program to other areas in the state outside of just Madison. So we're going to get into that story as well, but we want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call when it comes to public safety. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can share those thoughts with us here on Town Call. And if you're on the go on this Tuesday afternoon, download the Civic Media app. Take us with you while you're on the go. You can engage with the show right from the app. You can call or text. You can download it on all of your smart devices. Head over to the Apple or Google Play Store, type in Civic Media, take us with you on the go. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're going to continue the conversation. Want to hear your thoughts? 844-967-2789.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking public safety today. Is it time to reimagine our relationship with law enforcement? Luke, as you teased before the break, up in your neck of the woods, reading over from the Cap Times, Dane County joins Harvard to expand mental health crisis services. This is an approach that we've seen used to success. Could you elaborate a little bit on how this program came to be and why it has been so effective?
Yeah, so throughout the summer of 2020, when there was a lot of unrest, both here in Wisconsin and around the nation when it came to communities' relationship to law enforcement, there were questions about whether or not police were the best individuals to be the first responders in all situations, because so many communities have had only the police to respond. So regardless of it being a violent emergency where the police should absolutely be called, or to somebody that is having a mental health break and could just harm only themselves. The police were the first responders in all of these instances. And we heard from law enforcement. We heard from police officers that they are not necessarily the best individuals to equip to respond to these situations. And so there was a movement to start saying, okay, how can we have other individuals or better trained professionals respond in times of crisis that maybe the police aren't the best response? And that was met with slogans like defund the police. And a lot of individuals that disagree with that statement started slapping the defund the police label on almost anything that would address community responses to a crisis. And so we heard a lot about defund the police during the summer of 2020 and since. And you don't hear the village of Big Bend dissolving their police department and truly stopping the funding and no longer funding the village of Big Bend's police as looped in with that defund the police. There's a specific group of people, Will, that get slapped with the label when they talk about not wanting law enforcement being the only response to crisis. They're the ones that get slapped with the defund the police and the negative connotation that comes with that. But here in Madison, we had community members say, we could do better. We saw other areas around the country, like in Denver, create alternatives for specific situations. So this isn't that there's still a call center where 911 calls go here in Dane County. We don't in the city of Madison. There's not a separate center that was elaborated for it. But those dispatchers now have a new resource here in Madison, and it's referred to as the CARES program. It's an acronym that stands for the Community Alternative Response to Emergency Services. And so CARES essentially sends an EMT, a medical professional with the Madison Fire Department, and a mental health professional from one of the excellent organizations here in Madison.
Journey Mental Health Center crisis workers.
Correct. And so one of their crisis workers and an EMT through the Madison Fire Department, always together, it always has to be a pair of both of them to be able to respond, which has been staffing is one of the larger problems. Over 2 years ago, this was a pilot. It was only for portions of the city. Since then, the city had such a good response from it that they started and expanded it to the entire city. And Dane County is looking to be able to expand it to the entire county. Now, there are some growth hurdles there. Being able to have a response like this in more rural areas of Dane County has yet to be determined on how they can best do that. We see a lot of municipal fire departments that just don't have a full-time ability to respond with a mental health crisis worker in these calls. And so figuring out the staffing of that, because a lot of those more rural fire departments have been defunded, again, it gets back to, for far too long, communities have had to consolidate or eliminate services. So rural fire departments are based on a volunteer basis. You see a lot of volunteer fire departments in rural areas of the state, Will. And so therefore, there is not a larger fire department like here in Madison that can assist in a program like CARES and have one of the two pieces of these teams respond to these calls. But we've seen that the individuals that are calling 911 looking for emergency help, but the dispatcher identifies it as a nonviolent situation. Police still are the individuals responding to 911 calls that are deemed violent by the professionals that are running the dispatch service. But there is an alternative now here in the city of Madison, and we've seen success so much that the Harvard school that you mentioned, the School of Government at Harvard, wants to assist Dane County in partnering between the county, the city, and the Harvard University to figure out how the program can be expanded and address issues like, how can we respond with this alternative response in rural areas? So individuals living in rural Wisconsin can have the emergency services they need when they're suffering from a mental health crisis? How can we better address those situations as a community? And so it is two very drastic sides of the coin. If you're looking at this instance here in Wisconsin on how these communities are addressing public safety, Big Ben is being forced to eliminate its police department, and you're seeing multiple levels of government, city, county, and outside organizations come in here in Dane County trying to expand an alternative. Really, that should be the state of Wisconsin. The state of Wisconsin, our state government, should be recognizing a program that works and says, hey, how can we improve upon that? But again, the priorities at the state level are not to address problems and how to make them better, how to fix situations here in Wisconsin. It seems like the priorities are vastly, vastly different than that right now, Will.
Yeah, our elected officials clearly have a very different approach to how to best govern our communities. Our communities want to focus on being as healthy, as happy. They want to thrive as much as they possibly can to create a home we can all be proud of. Elected officials seem to instead have their mind on things like election integrity, things like issues that, while
election
conceptually
integrity
are important,
is important.
Well,
election
important,
integrity
have been
is
proven
important
to not be a problem time and time and time again. And you compare that to issues that our community are facing that is actively a problem. For example, our relationship with law enforcement and the impact that that has in our communities. Reading over from the piece at the Cap Times, it noted that the success of the CARES program has opened up the question of whether the rest of Dane County could also have access to this behavioral health response in emergencies, a service intended to avoid police interactions that escalate into violence and to provide specialized care appropriate to a mental health crisis. The escalation into violence point, Luke, you noted that multiple times, that has been a widespread issue nationally. We have seen time and time again police responding to situations that they are not adequately equipped to handle, and the situation takes a very dark turn, and it ends up becoming a tragedy for all of those who are involved. This type of approach works, and Dane County is not the only one who is seeing it, as you noted. The CARES program is based off of the STAR program, which has been implemented in Denver, and I believe you mentioned Portland had a version of it as well, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So the study.
I don't have that. I don't have the Portland piece specifically in front of me, but I believe yes, there are other alternative responses that communities are having, like here in Madison, like in Denver, and other places around the country, where we can see this model working. But in a lot of instances, it gets slapped with the label "defund the police," and it gets chalked up into this argument. And when you actually see municipalities that are forced to defunding their police departments, it's not used
Crickets.
In that. Yeah, it's not used in that instance. And it's just it is used as a political football slung around to try to make a movement that is working to address and make our communities better as something that is less than ideal for voters that are out there, because they're being told these slogans rather than actually the substance that's included in these policies and programs.
Yeah, and as you noted, you know, if a city were to do that, you better believe that the defund the police moniker will be slapped all over it, as we saw in Denver. But from reading over from Stanford as well, they did a study on the pilot 911 response program in Denver, the STAR program, which we just mentioned, in which mental health specialists responded to calls involving trespassing and other nonviolent events, and they found a 34% drop in reported crime during the 6 months trial. The standard by Stanford scholars Thomas D. and James Pine also showed that the direct costs of the alternative 911 approach were four times lower than police-only responses. So not only are we getting better results from specialized programs like this, we are saving significant amounts of money, which I think makes a massive, massive difference when most of these communities that are forced to, you know, quote-unquote defund the police, are doing so due to budget restrictions. And as you accurately pointed out as well, Luke, a lot of this all comes back to shared revenue, right? So many of these issues are intertwined. There's a reason that politics is local, because these type of programs and the implementation of these ideas and strategies and policies are going to have tangible, direct impact on your day-to-day life. And it's really disheartening to see the culture war popping up in some instances of successful policy implementation and not others, because a certain subset of elected officials want to use it to drive these wedge issues and push their own campaigns forward.
Well, it's not even their use in some instances and not the others. It's used selectively in one way when it's convenient, and then used selectively another way when it's not. It is disingenuous, to say the best, because, or to say the least, because it is, if you truly want to address public safety, and a program like the CARES program or STAR, as you pointed out, the Stanford study into Denver's program, if you want to improve public safety, programs like this need to be included then, because they're working. It is not just funding police departments more, hoping that all of the problems will be solved because police departments are funded more. It is being smart in how we allocate our municipal resources, to allocate our ability as a community to say, this is how we believe these situations need to be addressed. Because again, at the end of the day, that's all a budget is. A budget is a community's priorities.
It's priorities.
And we elect individuals to represent us at this local, state, and national level. And if they want to say a bunch of talking points, as you've said, all politics are local, but you hear a lot of national talking points all of a sudden get regurgitated down here at the local level, and they don't necessarily stack up. Because when you're actually talking about how these communities are addressing public safety, we are seeing a success story here in Madison when it comes to the Community Alternative Response to Emergency Services, or CARES, and it's not being talked about enough. It needs to be talked about more, and the state of Wisconsin should be saying, hey, this is a program that works for this community. Let's see how we can replicate it to work in other communities around the state. Because that's really what it is as well. We should be seeing these tests of democracy, these tests of how communities are responding to problems, and when it works, replicating it. That's what we should be doing with the CARES program. And I feel for the village of Big Bend. I cannot believe that a village board, without public notice, in a more conservative area of the state, that is true, would go and take this vote. And I hope that the Waukesha County's Sheriff's Department can adequately still address the public safety needs in Big Bend and the surrounding area. But it needs to be talked about, out of how our communities are addressing public safety and uplifted when things that are working are working. Folks, you're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. If you want to share your thoughts with us on a Tuesday afternoon, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Town Call is going to be right back.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'd like to thank the police for contributing to our show today. We were struggling to find some songs about police, so instead we just deferred to the band themselves, which I think is a very clever workaround, Aaron. Well played.
Well, yeah, I found there are a lot of songs about police.
There's a lot of songs about police out there.
It's just not with the message we're trying to convey.
I was trying to protect you there a little bit, Aaron, by defending the approach, but yes, that is probably accurate. So we are discussing community relationships with public safety and whether or not it is time to reimagine our relationship with law enforcement, particularly revolving around the Cap Times piece, noting the success of the CARES program, the Community Alternative Response to Emergency Services, which, of course, is a partnership between Madison Fire Department's community paramedics and Journey Mental Health Crisis Center workers. And it is based on the STAR program implemented in Denver. We have seen, as I noted before the break, Luke, and we'll continue pointing out here, some of the data pieces released by Stanford relating to the success of these type of programs. Now, Stanford notes that several cities, including New York, Austin, Texas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., have been experimenting with new ways of responding to certain types of mental health emergencies through little or no law enforcement involvement. Cities have been motivated not only by high-profile cases of police brutality, but also estimates that police spend more time responding to low-priority calls than any other type of emergency, with estimates suggested as many as two-thirds of these type of 911 calls could be directed to mental health experts. So, Luke, I need to point out that when we're talking, defund the police, a moniker that, as you noted, has been used to negatively reflect on more liberal locations, right? Cities or highly populated suburban type locations, but it's never used when discussing areas that lean more right, picking and choosing where you can drive this culture war type issue. I think if you're a police officer as well, why would you not be in support of some of these type of programs that data shows will not only make your job easier, but will allow you to focus on the aspects of your job that more citizens, I think, would consider to be or to require immediate assistance, in the sense that, you know, if there is a robbery going on or something, right? Where would you rather want...
If there's a violent crime. If there's
a violent crime of some kind, yeah. Right? Where would you rather have your police officers spending their time? When we could get mental health professionals who are much, much better prepared to handle some of these quote-unquote low-priority calls than a police officer would be. It makes sense across the board, and I don't understand why these type of programs have not been expanded faster than they currently are.
Yeah, it is absolutely... And when the shoe's on the other foot, when somebody you love is dealing with a mental health crisis, you do not want somebody showing up that
you don't want. Yep.
Is in the mindset that they, as police officers need to be when they are addressing violent crime, that all of a sudden there could be some concern for those individuals' health that are experiencing the mental health crisis. And so it's like it is both sides of that coin. I agree. If you're a law enforcement officer and you want to be able to serve your community better, I feel like you should be open and willing to have the conversations of how communities can better address and take some of those other responsibilities. Because a mental health expert is the best person to address a mental health crisis. I don't know how that's controversial, Will.
Like, why that's controversial is beyond me. Yeah.
For far too long, again, going back to the failures of addressing shared revenue and how our local municipalities are funded, it has forced police officers and police departments to be that catch-all, to be the only individuals that are available to respond to crises in the community. But instead, we can look and see examples of other ways to do it. And in here in Madison, the CARES program is working. There are programs like this that are working in communities around the country. If we're serious about addressing public safety, we need to be serious about looking at options like these to be able to better assist our communities.
100%. No, I couldn't agree more. It seems like one of those rare situations where the data not only backs up what a lot of people have been saying for years, but all of those involved would benefit from this scenario. You're taking more off the plate of police officers who have not been trained to respond to these situations accordingly. In fact, I believe there is no federal mandated minimum training for police officers.
No, so it's all on a case-by-case basis of what local departments determine is the appropriate training for their officers. So it's all ad hoc. Right. It's all a patchwork of different requirements.
And I can tell you, you made the great point earlier as well, Luke, that if you were the one having the mental health emergency, or a loved one or a friend or something like that, I want a mental health expert showing up in that situation. I do not want an American police officer who, the possibility of violence escalating from them is significantly higher than, if nobody showed up at all.
Yeah, I've been in that situation. I had a loved one several years ago. I was in Appleton and they gave me a phone call in distress, like threatening self-harm or suicide from Milwaukee. I obviously can't go over there in a reasonable amount of time. So I had some friends who were with me find the non-emergency police line for the suburb that they were living in. And I know that they hate police and are scared of them, but I'm like, well, it is literally the only option, that or just potentially let something tragic happen.
Well, that used to be the only option, but now 988. And programs
at the time
around
it was.
Yes. But there are, so if you are an individual like that struggling, 988 is an excellent resource that Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, along with a bipartisan group of senators in the U.S. Senate, spearheaded so that we have a unified national number that can be called for mental health crises as well. So that it's all layers. It's things like 988, it's CARES programs, like what Madison is focusing on, all of those things are necessary to be able to better address the mental health situation and the public safety situations going around in our communities.
We hear all the time as well, particularly after a mass shooting, why are we not funding mental health, even from individuals on the right? Well, here's an opportunity. We have the ability to fund mental health specialists in this to directly prove that point. We need to take it.
Well, and as we see in Big Ben, it's the communities themselves that are defunding the police. So again, this is something we have to keep an eye on. And if your community is all of a sudden voting on something like this without public notice, you need to be bringing that up, and we need to be talking about it. Folks, this has been Town Call. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.